Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Co-hosting with me today is Jan Schnaes and Max Cohen. This episode, we are going to discuss the huge 2-1 Fulham win against Derby County at Pride Park on Saturday. We have much to discuss in regards to this match. Before we do anything, always have to welcome my co-host back to the show. First, Mr. Cohen, how are you doing?
Russ, this team just keeps on winning, and, you know, honestly, I don't think they're going to lose the rest of the season. I can't see one more team in this division that's going to beat them.
Wow.
We've gone past all the hardest – obviously, it's a massive claim, but listen, we've gone past the hardest matches of the season. This six-match spell we're on currently is what everyone said. Oh, we're going to see the real Fulham. They're finally going to wilt, and that's going to be it. And we haven't lost, and we haven't really even faltered. And honestly, the match against Derby is just another perfect example of that. The first half was some of the best football we've played in a long time. The second half, that was something we haven't seen from Fulham. We hold on to a lead in a tough away environment, and that's another reason. We just keep doing these things. Same against Bristol City. Past years, we would have wilted. We would have lost that match. Past years, we would have drawn this match, even maybe gone on to lost it with the momentum totally shifted.
Good point.
But we find a way. We keep finding a way.
Finding ways to win, Max. I keep saying it.
This team is gutsy, and that's what gives me so much hope for the rest of this season.
That's very interesting that you're going all the way there. You don't see Fulham losing again. That would be fantastic. Mr. Janaeus, how are you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm lovely this morning. Another morning. Lovely, lovely. It was, you know what? Super win. Super 3 points. Difficult ground. Credit to Derby County for putting it. The game.
Absolutely.
There were only four games on yesterday. Excellent first half. Not so good second half. Held on. Massive 3 points. Move up to fourth. All we can do really is keep winning. That's what we're doing. Sheffield United next. Going to be a tough game. Take it a game at a time.
One game at a time. I like that mantra there, Giannis. You know why I like that. So thank you for sharing that. All right. Let's just get into this. Let's just start with, we're going to break down both halves. I just want to get your thoughts on the starting 11, Mr. Janaeus. I'm going to start with you. What were your thoughts when you saw the starting 11 and the 18 overall?
Well, the first thing that stood out is, you know, was Thomas Callas, but he was injured. So that sort of, you put Dennis Odoi in there. He's been reliable all year. Apart from that, the 11 really picked itself. In terms of Slaven, you know how I feel about Floyd Aite. Bench, it's... very, very strong bench. No room on the bench for
no button.
No button. No button has become undone, and no Neskins Cabano either. But a strong bench, lots of balance for a difficult game. Looked like we were ready to rock.
Okay, excellent, Giannis. Before I go to Max, I want to talk a little bit about the player that played in the place of Collis, because I was watching an interview with Kevin McDonald that you can watch on Fulham FC TV. And Kevin McDonald was full of praise for Dennis Odoi. He filled in very well, Giannis. We didn't really skip a beat with him in there. Your thoughts?
You're right. We don't. And actually, I prefer him to Callas. I think there's maybe a little bit of a better understanding. But whoever you put really in the back four, they seem to have played a lot better since Betts has gone net. And, it's no lack of coincidence that Tim Ream has looked like a superstar since Betts came back. And, when I saw Odoi in there for the Callas, I knew he wouldn't skip a beat. And as it turns out, that was the case.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. Mr. Cohen, over to you. Your thoughts on the starting 11 and the 18 overall. And if you want to share any thoughts on Dennis Odoi filling in for Thomas Callas, feel free to.
Yeah, I'm really glad Odoi had a good match today, because, you know, in the Bristol City match, we all gave him a bit of stick, I think, because he was partly at fault for their equalizer. But I've always really rated him as a defender, and I think in a kind of physical matchup like the Derby match was, he really acquitted himself well with the aerial duels. So that was shows the benefit of having a good center-back alternative when one of your starting defenders goes injured. And also showed why I think buying Christie in January was also prudent, because we didn't really have that depth maybe in the first half of the season. Now we really have that more so, which is like a really security blanket for us, especially in these big matches. And another thing I'd like to say is that, you know, Aite continues to have a starting place,
he does.
Which I think on one hand, you're not going to argue with the same starting lineup that beat Wolves and Villa. But on the other hand, I think many people are still I'm definitely still surprised that he's still starting in this team, considering, you know, Ojo, Kamara, even Cabano. These players haven't even had much of a look in the past couple of matches.
It's very interesting, Max, because I thought at this point we would see Ojo taking that role. That's who I thought would be in there. But Savisa likes Ayite, likes what he brings, and that's, you know, he's the head coach. He knows better than all of us, so it's working, so he continues to go with him. But I'm like you. I thought that we would see a different option. You could have had Piazon in that role. You could have also had, like I mentioned, Ojo. You mentioned Cabano. But I think it's fairly obvious how Savisa feels about Ayite.
Yeah, he certainly rates him. And I'm not going to go out here. I'm not the biggest hater on Ayite. I think he's a very class player. And especially when I went over during the festive period, he played a very big role in those wins over Barnsley and Cardiff. He was very influential. But the injury problems are a consistent worry for him, and it always seems he's always in the process of coming back and going out with an injury, and he's never really hit full form, I'd say, this season.
But to his credit, and I want to give Floyd a good amount of credit, he's doing his job. He must be doing his job because he keeps getting picked to play, and obviously he's doing what Savisa wants him to do. So let's give Floyd Ayite credit. We have the players that we like, but he's obviously doing a job. So I have to give credit to Floyd Ayite. Absolutely deserves credit there. All right, guys, let's get into the first half. Definitely look forward to getting your thoughts. And then after I'm done going through the key moments, I'll just get your overall view in the first half. Max had some very strong views on how we played, and I want to get that at the very end. So let's start in the very beginning. You have the fourth-minute shot by Ryan Sessegnon, decent opportunity, and that's followed up by the offside situation with Derby County. Vyman thought that he had scored, but he was offside. If you watch that back, it looked pretty obvious. And now let's go right to the goal, Giannis. I'm going to go right to you in the 10th minute by Mitrovic. But it started with a playoff of a corner, and then again, he ends up with a goal. Your thoughts on this whole thing? Describe it to all of us here.
Well, I think if Slaviza had been talking about his back four, the way that they could clear that corner, he'd be having a conniption. Because it had been lobbed back into the box, and there was a sort of half clearance. And Mitrovic is just pouncing it quick as a cat. That's what goal scorers do, really.
That's right.
Came out of nothing. And Derby County hadn't made a bad start. They looked comfortable in possession, and really it was like a bullet to the head that came from nowhere. It was sloppy defending, but brilliant finishing. And Mitra scored 3-3 now. And meanwhile, Newcastle couldn't, having problems scoring in a brothel. So
don't get it. I don't get it.
It's wonderful. He has added a new dimension because of his ability to bully the heck out of centre backs. And
oh, he did a great job.
He really did, and it's just a different dimension to the way we play. Now we can hit you from all angles, and remember, we've also got Bubu on the bench who can come on and beat you up as well. So it was a super goal, and it sort of nullified their start, which was pretty good. But it was certainly well taken, and Scott Carson had no chance.
Okay, excellent. And I'm glad that you brought up Mitrovic. I was going to mention it during the show, but since we're talking about his goal, I thought this is a good time. I'm going to go right back to you because, again, I'm going back to this Kevin McDonald interview, which was interesting, and he was asked about Mitrovic and what he has brought. And he said this, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the direct quotes, but he said it's great that they now have this option to long ball it up to him, and he holds the ball up very well, and that just sets everything up because teams are pressing high against Fulham because they're trying to stop us from playing. Now you have this option, Giannis, and I think it has nicely changed how Fulham are playing and dealing with this high press.
I think it's brilliant. It means that not only are we going to provide the threats from out wide, and if Kearney's working his magic, you know the ball's going to get out there. But now you've got the option of the longer ball where Mitrovic will get to the ball first and then look to invite contact in the final third. And as he showed last week, against Wolves, he's got the ability to cut inside and take the shot as well. He's been a revelation for us, and I'm having a good tease with Newcastle fans online about what on earth was Rafa thinking when they got rid of him. He's been absolutely superb for us, and he's, and I think when you get players like that, they make players around you better, and we look a better yep. team with him in it.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Players better, and really Derby, I think the scoreline flattered them yesterday. Really, they weren't really ever, apart from that maybe the first 10 minutes. I don't really think even with all their hustle, you know, and bustle second half, they were really ever in it. And Derby are a good side.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, and Derby are a good side. I mean, they were fourth for a reason. But someone like Mitro makes a huge difference in terms of the way we... It's a different dimension, right?
Absolutely, Yanis. Okay, let's move a little further into the first half. And in the 18th minute, you have the shot by Andre Wisdom that goes wide, thankfully. And now, Max, I'm going to go to you. Let's talk about the goal. It's funny because we're talking about Mitrovic, and all of this started that led up to the goal with a long ball to Mitrovic, and then the play set up, eventually ending in Ryan Sessegnon's goal, set up beautifully by a pass by Stefan Johansson. Let's talk about the goal because this thing was fantastic.
Yeah, you mentioned how it's set up by Mitrovic, and also when Kearney played that ball from out wide to Target, who then yep. put it in the mixer. That was another example of the Canary really bossing this game and how he really controlled the match for the whole 90 minutes. And he was also a very impressive player for me, especially you know, in the second half when he had to control the game. When we were really under the cosh, Canary really stepped up and showed that he can be a captain on the pitch for much of the season when we kind of criticized him for not being as much of a leader. I think he showed really well towards the end of the match how well he could play. Yeah, but with the goal, I think, It was one of the best goals I think Fulham have scored all year, just due to that unbelievable back heel from Johansson. That split the two Derby defenders. I mean, there are no words for this. His back to goal, his chance looks like it's gone. And I think Johansson had a very good match as well. I think we struggled when we took him off. And just the impudence, the confidence to try that kind of skill, and it came off perfectly. It's just superb. I loved it so much. And possibly, the only possible... you know, follow-up to that back heel, was that finished by Sessegnon. That is one yep. of those that's such a hard finish to do. First time, such a tight angle. But the thing is, as soon as he shaped up the shoot, you knew it was going to happen.
He's a pure goal scorer.
Pure goal scorer. And I wrote this in my preview on Friday night, is that I don't think I've ever seen a player that young with that natural ability to finish. He has that knack.
Fantastic.
That's, yep. He scores goals in the box, all types of situations, but he's always in the right place. And it's remarkable. And it was so satisfying to see the celebration. It's still 2-0 up within 25 minutes. I think a lot of people are thinking maybe of that Newcastle match last season, maybe of the Huddersfield yep. match, or just when we're really up, really unbelievably at a really top side.
Very good point, Max. And that's going to lead me to... get your thoughts and Giannis's thoughts overall in the first half. I'm just going to mention a few other moments. You have the shot by Ite in the 28th minute. And then in the second minute stoppage time, Mitrovic has a wonderful opportunity to score, and his shot just goes wide. The reason why I'm bringing up these opportunities is, again, I keep going back to this Kevin McDonald interview that's on Fulham FC TV. He was talking about how, paraphrasing, that Fulham could have been up by more. I think he even said four. And I think there's a legitimate argument that they could have and been up by more, and that would have made things easier going into the second half. So, Max, I'm going to start with you. I want your overall assessment. You said this was the best half of football, but it could have been better, actually.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure, we could have scored more goals. And that's the testament to how well we played, is that we were up 2-0, which is a fantastic result away at Pride Park, no matter what the situation is. And we weren't even satisfied with that, because you mentioned right. the Mitrovic chance. Also, Sessegnon had an early chance within 10 minutes. That was yep. well saved by Carson. So we're playing well, creating chances. And this is something impressive, considering, you know, Pride Park is a place that we struggled at immensely in the past, you know, 2 decades. The last time we won there was 2002. So to do this in a ground where we've had a lot of trouble in the past makes it even more impressive for me.
Okay, excellent. Giannis, I just want to get your overall assessment on the first half. I thought it was a great first half, but am I nitpicking looking at the missed opportunities here? Because I think if we scored a third, this match is over.
Well, I think if we'd scored a third, we might have had a cricket score, and the Derby County fans might have gone absolutely nuts. But we were, you know, apart from the first 10 minutes, I thought we were excellent. It was one of our best performances of the season. And back to that goal, when Cyrus Christie set up the goal for
Mitrovic
to take the lead at Bristol City, I thought that was the goal of the season. But this one, the second goal, was even better because I'm not sure which component was better. The back heel flick from Johansson, which was just audacious, and the fact that Cesc finished it with absolute aplomb and the keeper standing there going, "Where's the ball gone?" It was brilliant. And it was, I mean, we were up 2-0 at half time. It was fully deserved. Derby could have no complaints. Although you knew that Gary Rowett was going to just absolutely tear a you know what into them at half time. And the credit to Derby, they came out second half and did play better. But we showed why we had been on that run of 12 games and now going into 13. We're playing very well at the back. The only time we really look like we're going to be unlocked is a set piece. We're attacking with aplomb, we're creating chances, we're scoring goals. Confident, and now you've got a player like Kearney, who I think maybe had his best game of the season yesterday, who's now is really hitting his stride, and
absolutely, yeah,
teams are looking at us going, "Oh, we've got to play that lot next."
Okay, excellent there, my friend. All right, let's now transition. Let's talk about the second half. Full go into the second half up 2-0, and I'm thinking, okay, let's get that third and put this match away. And it didn't go our way. Mitrovic had an opportunity in the 52nd minute, but it goes wide. And now let's move forward and let's go to the goal by Derby County in the 68th minute, Giannis. And I want you to describe what happened there. I believe it was off of a deflection, but I want to get your thoughts on this because Gentleman Jim, as we're watching it, the three of us are watching it, was critical of the free kick. And he didn't believe that it should have been one. I wanted your thoughts on that and also on the goal that made it 2-1 and obviously made it an extremely nervy finish.
Well, Lee Mason, I think, is a very good referee, but I think he boobed on that one. And I think the fans were putting pressure and, you know, he's an experienced Premier League ref. He should be better than that, but he's given it. And it was funny when Gentleman Jim says, you know, Huddleston scores once every 25 years and it's usually against us. And I think the bets... It took a deflection. Could he have got there? I think maybe if he looks at the replay, he may want to have that one back. But sometimes it's the mark of the keeper is not the saves you make, but when you make the saves. And his save in injury time was absolutely brilliant. And, you know, it preserved the win. It was I didn't like the call by any means. But you've still got to defend a little better from a set piece. And we didn't, so they were right back in. But you got a sense that not even the fans were convinced they were going to come. I mean, half the fans were leaving the building with 5 minutes to go, which was very, very odd.
Yeah.
I've been to Derby. It can't be because it's so exciting to get back into that city. So, it's another one of those. There's a phrase that Trump would use for that one, I believe. But, you know, it was that was odd, but they got the goal back and they huffed and puffed. But, you know, even with the substitutions, it didn't really come off. And I think the one thing that they did do, which I think I was very, very surprised at, and Gary Rowett may look back and go, did I boob? He didn't bring David Nugent on. And I think that...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Odd one. Don't know what happened there. He bought Casey Palmer. Well, he bought Palmer, Anya, and Johnson on, but Johnson was the last one. And I went, "Well, are you looking to preserve?"
Casey Palmer had an influence on the second half, though.
Yeah, he should have started. Yeah, he did play well. Yeah, he did play well. But I just, Cameron Jerome, I thought was nondescript. Really, I thought Nugent might have been a better option. So that has to be down on Rowett.
Absolutely.
That's their problem, not ours. And
it's not right, exactly.
Yeah, and Robert Wilson was up there. I remember that game in 82. And I wasn't actually able to go north for that game, but that's a game that still evokes a lot of bitterness amongst the old fans, and for many, many reasons. You can tell it from Rob Wilson's interview at halftime. They're still pissed off with that. So this was a nice – this wasn't total revenge, but it was nice and sweet.
I'm happy for him, Giannis.
Yes. Good guy. Good guy, Fulham through and through.
Absolutely. Robert Wilson's been on the show. He's fantastic. And I was thinking of him during this match because I know that it probably still has left a mark. And this doesn't change that, but it it can't hurt, right, Giannis?
Oh, for sure. You know what? Memories live long, for sure. And that was a team in 82, which is arguably the most exciting Fulham team I've ever seen. There were some superb players. And we had a manager, Malcolm McDonald, who was just so revered, much like Slavisa is as well. Yep. Outstanding, and it was a great team. And, you know, for that to happen the way it did was just horse.
Yeah, I actually just watched it again. I watch it every time we play Derby County just to remind myself of that. And I'm not even going to comment on it because I've seen it and I still don't believe that's how everything went down back then. It just doesn't make sense to me, but that's how it all played out. And that's why I guess I totally understand the feelings of Fulham supporters when it comes to Derby County, especially there. So it doesn't change that result, but like I mentioned, this result can't hurt. You know, it definitely can't hurt. It helps us right now. All right, guys. What I thought I would do is talk about the last few minutes of this match with the two of you. Analyze it because Fulham do hold on, but they had some very good defensive moments to get them over the line. We could say it wasn't good defense, but they got it done in the end. You have the situation with Kevin McDonald. Then, of course, Marcus Bettinelli's save. We were holding on, but they did get it done. And Max, I want to go to you. I want to talk about, say, the last 5 minutes, your thoughts, and feel free to share what you saw, how Fulham defended these opportunities from Derby County.
Last 5 minutes were really pure hell for every Fulham fan, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was because you always have a gut feeling in these past couple of years that we concede late goals. And this year it just hasn't really turned out that way. But I guess you could say, sorry, for the first couple of matches, remember when we go up 1-0 and always concede in the last 15 or so minutes, you'd have that feeling that, oh no, it's going to happen again. And again, in these kind of tough away situations, especially with the crowd getting behind them, there's piling attack upon attack, we kind of retreated into that shell. And I felt like this is going to be classic for them. And then you kind of start convincing yourself. I was like, okay, an away point will be okay. It's not good in the world. We're still unbeaten.
I was doing the same thing, Max.
But then it happens, and then we just somehow find a way. And it's there's no really rhyme or reason to this. I don't think there can be one explanation to how Fulham have changed their mentality. But for some reason, we've become a club with a backbone now, who's resolute, who doesn't fold in these situations. And I think the finest example of that is that Kevin McDonald block tackle. Oh. I've watched this a lot of times, and the best moment for me is when I pause the ball right when that cutback happens into the box.
Yep.
And you see how far back he is. He has no right to get to that ball. And Kevin McDonald is not someone with amazing pace, but the desire he showed and the awareness to get back and slide and stop that goal-scoring opportunity, that's as good as a match-winning goal for me.
Yeah.
And that's just superb. And that really exemplifies the Fulham team. They did not give up. They said, you know what, Derby, we're not going to give you that equalizing goal. We're going to hold on. And that was the difference. That was the last 5 minutes in a nutshell right there.
Okay, excellent there, Max. And Giannis, over to you, because I wanted to talk a little bit about the defending. Yes, it was scary to watch, but they still needed to, I guess you could say, overcome these situations. You have McDonald and you have Bettinelli, but it's really all of the players just being able to see this match out. So I want to get your thoughts on how we handled it, because I look at it this way. Yes, it was scary, but they were determined to see this through. That's the way, especially Kevin McDonald, determined to see us through.
Yeah, we did a very good job of getting everybody behind the line on the ball. I thought we defended, collectively, we defended very, very well. And Derby were going to, I mean, they knew that if they got a draw, it kept them in fourth. If they lost, we jumped to fourth. And, you know, the last 10 minutes, they asked some questions, but
they did.
Defensively, I thought Russ, we were pretty solid, and you know, Kevin McDonald is not the captain, but for me, he's the de facto captain. To me, he's the de facto leader.
You know how I feel about that, Giannis. Yeah, I agree with you.
He's just he brings it. He brings it game in, game out. He's been magnificent this year, and that was typical K-Mac, and he's someone who's really, really grown. Well, this year as a player, and you know, not forgetting Betts. That was a brilliant save from Betts. It was coming up really traveling at knots. And you know how I feel about Betts. He's done the business. Sometimes you have to have you got to make the courageous decisions as the head coach. Changing a goalkeeper can be difficult, but I'm convinced he did it to change the mindset of the team. And if that was the case, it's worked. And we got out of there. It's a massive 3 points. I can't underestimate the value of actually playing yesterday, let alone the result. Because teams that didn't play, I mean, it was only 4 games in the championship. Yep. Now they've got, 3 games in 8 days or 9 days. And, the weather's still cold over there. Now you're going to be talking about your depth of your squad. And as you know, Villa, Cardiff and Wolves have some very tough games coming up. So we're there. I mean, I'm still not looking up. I'm looking below.
Right.
But we can control what we do. But they're going to have some tough games ahead. So it's good that Derby did everything to make sure the game went ahead. Huge kudos to them. But it would only have been as important as the value of taking 3 points away, and we did that. And it means we're in fourth and sitting pretty and waiting for the midweek game. Sheffield United won't be an easy game, but it was a massive win yesterday.
It was, Giannis. And just to finish up analyzing both halves, I just want to get your overall assessment on the second half. You mentioned that first half was obviously much better, but they got it done professionally. They found a way to win.
Yep. Professional unit. I mean, we don't look like a team right now that's going to concede from open play. It's going to be a set piece that does us.
Yeah,
win.
That's a great point.
And that's good. I mean, I can certainly take that. Every team provides the different challenges. Slava's job now will be to say, okay, we've had these games, but now we've got Sheffield United. We've got to take it a game at a time. Sheffield United, we had a slugfest up at Bramall Lane earlier in the season. This will not be an easy game. They want to get back into, the playoff spots. And the results yesterday were, turned out, I mean, Bristol City thumping Wednesday, Middlesbrough beating Leeds on Friday night. And then let's not forget Preston. I thought that was an excellent win up at Bolton, 3-1. So now they're back in the thick of things. So we can't rest on our laurels. Sheffield United will be a tough game. They'll bring a big following down like they always do. Should be a good game, should be entertaining. And they'll probably attack. I think they're a better attacking side, actually, in many ways than Derby. So it'll be a good game. But we're going to have to stay disciplined and just focus on the game. And then sort of take it from there.
Okay, excellent. Giannis, real quick, Max, just your overall assessment of the second half.
I think the second half was probably dominated by the two substitutions, the two crucial ones. I think when he took off Johansson, I understand it was because of the booking, but I think when Nord came on, it probably dropped our quality a bit and led to Derby's putting more pressure on us. And in addition, when Casey Palmer came on for Derby, I think that really changed the match as well.
He's
a very dangerous-looking player. Perhaps maybe should have started from the offset because he is very, very dangerous, very pacey, and really gave us some problems when we were kind of tired in the field.
It's a good point. It's funny because I heard from my friend Andy Buckley-Taylor, who I did the interview with earlier last week, and he messaged me and he was not happy that Palmer was not starting. He was not happy that George Thorne and Vyman were starting. He thought that those were mistakes, basically. I'm paraphrasing what Andy sent me, but he was not thrilled with that. And I think it played itself out with not starting Casey Palmer. That, again, that's on Rowett, and I don't care.
Yeah.
That's the way to look at it. All right, guys, just for time's sake, we are going to skip Stat Attack because I want to go through the player ratings from Get West London and get your thoughts on what was shared here and see if they match up on your player ratings. And then afterwards, we will get your man of the match and we'll end with Slavisa. So, Giannis, I'm going to start with you. Let's go right to Bettinelli. Get West London gives Betts a 7. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, agree. I mean, just for that save alone, it was a brilliant save. And again, it was the timing. No worries with that 7.
Okay, Max?
Yeah, I give him a 7. That's fair. He didn't do anything. He made a great save, but I wouldn't say it was too threatened during the entire match.
Okay. Let's now go to the fullbacks, Max. I'll go to you. Get West London gives Fredericks a 7 and Target a 7. Both 7. Do you agree or disagree on either one of these ratings?
I mean, I think it's in the right range. I mean, I don't know if it's nipping. I just give them both 6s because I think they played well, but I don't think anything that it stood out for me too much. But both very solid performances.
Okay. Giannis, your thoughts on these ratings from Get West London. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I do with both. I thought the good runs up the wings. Defensively, stayed compact. Rarely got beaten. They took all the physical punishment that Derby could throw at them, and they did their job. So, yeah, 7's good.
Okay, let's now talk about the center back pairing. I'm going to give the ratings. I'm also going to read a little bit. I should have read on some of these other players, but I'm going to read what Get West London had to say about these players and their ratings. Adoy, 7. This is what was said. Did well coming into the center back role and dealt with the presence of Jerome well. Ream, 9. Was solved once again the first 45 and put in a number of big challenges. Colossal performance once again. Giannis, do you agree or disagree with these ratings from Get West London?
No arguments with them there. I thought Adoy was, you know, he did his job. Which is all you can ask from him. Very, very solid. He's very good in the air, and that certainly helped us yesterday. Ream was a colossus. I scratched my head. Right now there isn't a better centre back in the Championship in terms of form. There is
how far this player has come, Giannis.
Yeah, it's just been astonishing, and he really another tremendous leader. Nine's about right. He was. Okay. He was outstanding.
Okay. Max, your thoughts?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Ream, again, was superb. And maybe I'd even give Adoy an 8, considering that.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, he's not a solid starter, and his performance is very impressive. So, but I think the main takeaway here is that our defense was strong, and considering for the first part of the season, we couldn't keep clean sheets to save our lives. And now, although today wasn't a clean sheet, we were by far very resolute, solid at the back, and that's a really key feature of our resurgence, I think, has been our defense.
Okay, excellent, Max. All right, let's talk about the midfield 3. Get West London gives all 3 of them an 8, and I'm just going to read a little bit of what Get West London has to say about these players. McDonald, another steady performance in the anchor role from McDonald. Match saving block right at the end. Johansson, 2 wonderful assists for both Fulham goals, was a machine in the midfield. But a yellow game for a cynical challenge meant he was replaced early for Norwood as Derby started to break through the middle. Kearney, as we mentioned in 8, marvelous first half performance as he dictated play and made the Derby players chase shadows. That's a great line there. Your thoughts, Max. Do you agree or disagree with these ratings for the midfield 3?
I might even give Kearney a 9 for how well he played in that match. And also considering Ryan mentioned his first half performance, but for me, even his second half performance was very impressive. When he really had to hold on the fort, you know, play down the clock, and I've noticed, especially in the Sheffield United away match, he's so good at just kind of controlling the situations late in the match, taking it to the corner, keeping control of the ball. He's just such an experienced head, Tom Kearney, and he was really invaluable in those closing stages.
Okay, very good there, Max. Giannis, your thoughts on the ratings from Get West London on the midfield 3?
Well, I'll disagree with all 3.
Okay.
Steph Joe and K-Mac for me get 8.5. Steph Joe, I mean, that start back flick, I'm mesmerised. I thought it was brilliant, brilliant coaching by Slavija to take him off. I really do. I think it was the yellow card. He's piled up a few recent games. He's taken him off as a bit of a cool down. We do need him, so that was a good decision. K-Mac was brilliant. Kearney, for me, gets a 9.5. Man of the match. Best game he's played all
year. Fantastic.
Absolutely brilliant. He was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And he dictated and he ran the show. And that's really, I mean, if you think of players that played around him, and Ream and Mitrovic had excellent games, but Kearney was just, it was a conductor running an orchestra. It was a joy to watch, and the midfield collectively were excellent yesterday. They really were.
Okay, excellent, Giannis. All right, let's now talk about Ford Ayite and Ryan Sessegnon. Get West London gives both 7s. Ayite, this is what it said, did well and caused problems drifting from the right, but a few times could have done better with his first touch. Sessegnon, all he needs is a touch, and he scored. He did well to get another today, struggled at points against Wisdom, but another solid showing. Giannis, do you agree or disagree with sevens for Ayite and Sessegnon from Get West London?
Well, Sessegnon, I'd give a 7.5. He seemed to fade a little bit in the second half. There's a question mark whether he was carrying or not. But that goal he scored was just scary. Just with the speed, tic-tac-toe. Ayite, I'm going to give a 6.5. I need to see from him, bias notwithstanding, I need to see more consistency in terms of 1v1 play. And in terms of distribution of the ball, I still, you know, there's a lot of question marks about whether he should be one of the 11 players starting in the right now, the most on-form team in the championship. I don't know. But he was okay. He was okay. Okay. He still needs to score goals, though. He's a striker. And as you've seen in recent games, it's been Sess and Mitro show. Yeah, but Ayite still has to chip in. Cabana's been very unlucky not to get anywhere. I hope he's in at least the 18 on Tuesday, and he gets a run around.
I agree. We have not seen these against Cabana. Max, over to you. Thoughts on the ratings for Ayite and Sessegnon? Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I would give Sessegnon just a touch higher just due to his goal. But to be fair, it's not one of the matches where he really controlled it or played fantastically well. But that also shows you how exactly all he needs is a touch. All he needs is one opportunity, and he gets his goal. And that's all that matters at this point. You don't need him to be man of the match every match. If he's scoring a goal, he's scoring, what, I think it's 9 goals this calendar year, which is the most of anyone in England, I believe the stat is, which is just remarkable. You'd say, I think 7's fair. Good, okay. but nothing too special. But listen, the 3 points at this point is the most important thing. And I think everyone really gave a good shift.
Good point there, my friend. All right, right back to you. Let's now talk about Mitrovic. Get West London gives him an 8. Here's what was said. Caused a problem up front and got his third goal in many games. Outstanding hold-up play, adding the little bit extra that Fulham have lacked in the past. Max, I'm going to give Mitrovic my man of the match. I thought he was excellent, and I think his influence continues to show as he plays more and more with Fulham. He's my man of the match. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I was tempted to go with him for man of the match, considering not only does he give up hold the play, but he can turn and run at defenders after holding up the ball. And that's what led to the corner that led to the first goal. When he had the back to goal and he turns, and that acceleration, that burst of power he has, just scares defenders. And we saw it against Wolves, and he did it numerous times against Derby as well. He has that knack just to drive. And when he's driving, it's almost similar to Kamara in the way that no defender wants to get in the way of that kind of freight train blowing past at full speed. He has just so many dimensions to his game. And you're right, he's always a problem. He gives that defense just another thing to worry about. And I've heard this word used a lot in recent times about him. He's that missing piece to the jigsaw puzzle. And I think it's true. I think it's certainly true. That being said, I think my man of the match is going to go to Tom Karen. I'm going to agree with Giannis. Complete controlling display. What we know he can do, he showed against Derby.
Excellent. Okay, so both of you have Tom Kearney as your man of the match. Giannis, your thoughts on Mitrovic? Am I wrong to make him my man of the match?
No, you're not. You're not wrong. I'm going to give him 9. I still think Kearney, but Mitro beat the you-know-whats out of the two centre-backs, and he's going to carry on doing that. And he's still not completely 100% fit. So, I mean, it was a masterclass in how to hold the ball up, get the first touch in, be physical, really mix it up, upset the centre-backs. He got a goal. He was super again. He really was. And it's a lot of fun to watch a striker do what he does.
Oh, it's wonderful to watch.
Yeah, and don't forget, we've got Boo Boo on the bench. You can come off and... And try and beat you up in a different way. It's a lot of fun. We've got a nice bench there that we may have to start drawing on, because if you look at the next two games, you know, Sheffield United, if you hear cat sounds, by the way, please excuse me, one of my cats has jumped all over me. You've got Sheffield United, that won't be easy, and Preston North End, who I actually really like as a team. So we're going to have to use that depth. But... for the moment, Mitra's been brought in to do the job, and heck, he's doing the job. I thought he had an excellent game.
he is Giannis. And what's interesting, and I'm going to mention another video from Tom Kearney. This was an interview done with him, and he mentioned that Mitrovic, I'm paraphrasing, offers what they were missing. They haven't had this since Chris Martin. He brought up Chris Martin's name, and I think that Mitrovic is a much better player, but I understand where Kearney was going on that. And you definitely have to check out these two videos, interviews with Tom Kearney and Kevin McDonald. They were both excellent. It'll give you some insight on their thoughts on the matches. Go on to FulhamFC.com, and you will see these interviews because they were both really interesting. All right, guys, to finish up the show, let's do a rating for Slavisa. Giannis, your rating for Slavisa.
Got to give him a 9. The lineup, notwithstanding FA, it was excellent, and I think that he deserves a lot of kudos for the subbing, particularly taking off Steph Joe when he did. That was brilliantly done.
We didn't mention that. That's very good that you mentioned that.
It was, someone say, well, it dropped off a level, but he was thinking, okay, if he takes another yellow, not only does it put this game in jeopardy, but we've lost him for a while and we don't need that. We want to keep the balance.
That was a smart move.
Yeah, well, I thought it was. So credit to him. So I'll give him a 9.
Okay. Over to you, Max. Slavisa.
I'll give him an 8.5. The starting 11 was solid. He kept, for the most part, the winning formula, and he had that versatility to bring in Odoi. And I think the game plan he gave to the players was superb. That first half, he just said, go out there and play. Be attacking. Don't try to go in your shell. Just play your football, and you will dominate them. And that's really what we did. And I love when we can just be positive and attacking on the road, and the goals just reap the rewards of that.
Okay, excellent, guys. Fantastic show. Really enjoyed breaking down this match, and we will have coverage on Cottage Talk of the Sheffield United match, so be on the lookout for that. And before we go, I just want to mention this, that we have a little special ending to this episode of Cottage Talk, a little parody of these masterclass videos that actually one that Slavisa did. We have our own version. Like I said, it's a parody. So after we are done wrapping up the show, keep on listening. Stay tuned, because you're going to want to hear that. That's all I'm going to say. Mr. Janaeus, thank you so much for joining me today. I enjoy doing this show with you.
It's been a bloody pleasure.
Okay. Max, thank you as always, my friend. Great show.
Of course, Ross. And just one last thing before we go. I know you have to go, but let me just read you. So after the Sheffield United and Preston matches, those are our two most difficult matches left in the season. Let me read out to you the league positions of our final 9, I think, matches. 16th, 14th, 12th, 17th, 10th, 11th, 24th, 22nd. Those are the matches we're going to play. Those are the current league positions the teams are playing for the rest of the season. That is a run-in if I've ever seen one. And we've done the difficult part now. We've done the difficult part. Yep. All that's left is to beat these teams below us on the table. And this is why I said at the beginning, obviously it's a bold claim. And am I 100% serious? Maybe not. But I can't really see us losing. I'm just going to say that. See us losing.
I hope you're right, Max.
And that's just a statistical view. We're playing teams, only one team in the top 10.
I don't want to go there yet. I keep going there. I keep saying I'm not going to talk about second. Then I go back and talk about second. I'm the biggest hypocrite. But I'm glad that you mentioned that, Max, because if you look at it that way, it does look like it's possible. But I don't want to think about that too much. I just want to take it one match at a time, as Giannis, you and I talk about. All right, great show, fantastic show. But it is time to go from my co-host, Giannis Janaeus, and Max Cohen. I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. And please keep listening, because we have a special little audio for you. Take care. I am now joined by the Ipswich Town manager, Mick McCarthy. Mick is on to do his masterclass for us. Mick, welcome to Cottage Talk. It's time for you to do your masterclass.
I've got no idea why I'm on here, because we've got Norwich tomorrow, but nonetheless. Right, I'm going to do a masterclass on Fulham Football Club. I can't stand them. We can never beat the buggers. But anyway, I'm going to start. How do we play them? Well, firstly, we have 11 men on the pitch, as opposed to 10 when the last time we played them, we got one of me buggers sent off. Silly joker. Anyway, in net, they've got some guy called Marcus Betty Nelly, or whatever his name is. He's okay. Dead shots on him, pound him from the corners and get the elbows up. Their back four, well, I don't know about their back four. They've got a dartboard there at left back. Oh, sorry, it's Target. And in the middle, they've got Ream. Ream, he was okay early in the season. Then he got miserable, but he's American, so we won't penalise him for that. And then we got Thomas Gallas. He's Swiss or Swedish or I don't know. He's not very good passer of the ball. I think we can expose these little buggers. And then there's Fredericks, the man who scores one goal every 5 years. I like this fella. He's all right, he is. He's not bad. They've not conceded many goals. Oh, by the way, Button is not in net. It's just as well because we'd score 10 on the buggers. Midfield, well, they got this. Got this guy, tall Thomas Kearney. Oh, yeah, he's Scottish. Oh, he's okay. Nice little left foot. Kevin McDonald, another Scotsman. When's the last time Scotland won a World Cup? When's the last time Scotland were in a World Cup? When's the last time Scotland did anything anywhere in any sport? Stefan Johansson is Norwegian or Swedish or Scandinavian. He's okay. So we've got to try and kick our way through those buggers. Up front, well, there's a few of them. There's this new guy called Mitrovic, whatever. Serbian, Croatian, Bosnian, I don't know. Big lad, come from Newcastle, he's okay. There's this lad on the left, Ryan Sessignon, whatever. Is he related to Stefan? I don't know, never mind. He's 17 or 14 or 2 years of age, he's pretty decent. And then on the right, well, they've got some Brazilian called Piazon, he's okay. There's Cabano, he's okay. Lots of players with O's in them, I can't keep pace with this. And there's a Boo Boo Kamara. He's a big lad. He's strong. He can score a few goals. So what I suggest is that when we play Fulham, they like to play 4-3-3. There's several things we need to do to approach the game. Firstly, we go to church every morning and every night for the 7 days leading up to the game. Secondly, we pray in the morning of the game. Thirdly, we pray just before we go out on the field. Fourthly, we pray at half time. Fifthly, we buy voodoo dolls to put in each of the players. And sixthly, we hope to hell that we can actually put in a good shift and finish a game with 11 players. That's my masterclass against Fulham. I wish I were their manager. I think I'm a better manager than whatever his name is. But nonetheless, I've got to go now because we're playing the Canaries tomorrow. We're hoping to clip their wings and bite their heads off and show that we are the champions of East Anglia. Thank you for listening to Mick McCarthy's Master Series, Master Talk on all things Fulham.
Thank you, Mick.